every ceiling required me to grow as a leader, required me to transfer some of that leadership to my team members around me and allow me to allow the practice to continue to grow. And that's where we're at now, is we got to keep growing and do more.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
The following episode is mostly based on true events. Any resemblance to your actual practice is probably not a coincidence. Let's dive in.
If you feel like you're grinding every day, but your practice just isn't growing, congratulations. You've hit a ceiling. Now, many of us think of a ceiling as a problem, and I don't want you to think of it that way. I want you to think of it as a signal to what's going on. And this week, Meredith and I are going to share my ceilings through my history, through my career, and how we've recognized this looking backward, and how we've broken through each of those ceilings. Welcome to Dentistry Made Simple, brought to you by 3D Dentists. I'm T-Bone, and this week I'm joined by Meredith Cooper-Jones, who is no longer pregnant, are you, Meredith?
No, not anymore. Never again.
And our goal each week is to help level the playing field for the individual dentist. Look, you're getting beaten up from all sides, whether it's insurance companies, corporate dentistries, distributors, and companies taking your money nonstop and costs going up, but it doesn't have to be that way. And we are dedicated at 3D Dentists to breaking through that and helping each of you thrive in a more difficult economy.
Well, before we jump in, just a word about 3D Dentists.
Ooh, we're going to have a thing about 3D Dentists.
We help independent practice owners build profitable, modern practices. We combine business leadership, clinical training, and just simple operating systems. So if you're feeling stuck, you're feeling tired, or you want a clear roadmap moving forward, then check us out at 3D-dentist.com. So T-Bone, let's get into it. Let's talk about some ceilings.
Let's go, Meredith. You're in charge, so you tell me.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just here.
I want to mention is you always say, I feel bad for the dentists who never have that disruption. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a ceiling could be almost like a mini disruption.
It should be.
Yeah.
It should be.
So let's get into this, T-Bone. We talk about your career over the last 20 years.
26.
I was trying to make you 20 plus, you know, 20-ish.
How about 25
plus? I'm trying to make you young, okay?
I am young. I'm only 49.
I'm trying to help you out. So let's talk through what some of those ceilings were, because I think people need to hear this because it happens to everyone.
Yeah, look, I think what makes me a really good coach is that I practice, I continue to practice, I share, I've been through these challenges. And for the most part, I've broken through them, maybe not the best way or the only way, but I've broken through them. And, you know, maybe I'm just one or two steps ahead of many of you listening. And if I can shorten that learning curve so it doesn't have to take you 26 years to get here, that would be fantastic. Yeah. You know, the first ceiling that sticks out to me was probably, you know, and I've talked about this a little bit before, but let's give it new context. That first ceiling was 2001, 2002, and it was really about survival. You know, the ceiling I hit, I don't know if it was a ceiling or a wall in this one. This one was probably more of a wall in that I built my practice as a cash-only startup dental practice in an office building with no visibility. I don't know what in the world I was thinking. And 1 year in, I was basically out of money. And to me, the wall, the ceiling I had to break through was my personal mindset, you know, that I had to take insurance, that it was okay to take insurance. It was okay to change. You know, like so many of us, we try something, we feel like we're going to be a failure or perceived as a failure if we don't stick it through. But the choice that I was given, the ceiling I had to break through was my own, you know, at the end of the day, was my head, you know, tallest part of my body. So I had to break through that.
So you basically had to let go of being too good to accept insurance.
Yeah.
It's a tough cookie.
Bottom line is yes. Yes.
This is so many startup dentists right now.
You think
this
so?
All the time.
Are dumb enough to do this?
In the startup groups all the time, people are saying, I'm starting a fee for service practice. It happens a lot. I think they start and then same kind of thing, right? In the beginning, it's just like you get the low-hanging fruit, you get a bunch of people, and then...
I like 26 years, and I literally at this point could go insurance-free and have a practice. It wouldn't resemble what I have now, but I could certainly have a practice insurance-free, but I still don't recommend... I wouldn't recommend that to myself. I don't recommend that to others. I just don't. I don't think it's smart to be insurance free in a traditional 3D dentist style practice, where it's going to be multiple providers and everything.
Yeah. So many of the startups now, they're just you can't be so rigid about your ideal practice, and you have to just make it through that startup.
Yeah. You know, kind of. If before we transition to the next one, here's what I would say in this is, you can't have too much. Like, I'm a prideful person. Okay, I'm 100% a prideful person. But you can't have too much pride, because if you don't make it past survival, you'll never be able to make it to the next step. If I had not started taking insurance in 2002, late 2001, 2002, if I had not started taking insurance, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. 3D dentist wouldn't exist, my speaking career wouldn't exist, my clinical skills wouldn't exist, my family life as it is right now wouldn't exist. Like, so much wouldn't exist if I didn't get past that pride issue. And we just got to get past pride at some point in time.
I think that's why you kind of have a soft spot for some of the startups in our group. So you survived startup. Yeah. What was the next ceiling?
The next ceiling, and you know, it's interesting. My next ceiling was, I said it was I said it was economy made. But looking back, it would have happened either way, you know, and that was 2008, 2009. You know, it was a crisis. The economic crisis created a ceiling. And, you know, up until that point, I was doing insurance dentistry, doing a lot of quadrant dentistry, doing all the things we teach in fewer well-planned visits, doing the occasional home run big case, occasional being at least 2 to 3 cosmetic cases a month. But my skill set was really... I didn't realize it at the time. My skill set was holding me back. And I was referring out my endo. I was referring out my surgery cases. I was referring out my implant cases. And really, the economic crisis created a new ceiling. I had to pay the bills. And so at that point, I learned to leverage dental implants, learned to start doing dental implants. And the other thing that, looking back at that time, I really doubled down on the concept of having a dedicated treatment coordinator, not a treatment coordinator that was doing partly this and that and, you know, 5 different seats. They got their own office, their own consult room. That's where they were at. They didn't answer the phone calls. At that point, we were doing no marketing to get phone calls directly to them. But it was really their job was there to be there for new patients, existing patients, to make sure my book of business was full, and to focus on being able to do fewer well-planned visits and yes to the best dentistry. And so, you know, for me, it was going back to learning a new skill, a skill that I was tremendously uncomfortable with, tremendously never wanted to learn. I joked in dental school that I didn't want to see blood. I passed out watching a tooth being taken out. And I just, again, that... You know, I think what we'll see in this, at least the first two ceilings for me, was I had to break through my own mental barriers, that I had to believe in myself. I had no choice but to believe in myself on the implant side, because that was the easiest growth model. I think we talked about that recently, that it's the biggest, you know, biggest growth revenue opportunity for any dental practice. And not everybody's cut out to do implants, that's for sure. But I think today's technology makes it, you know, capable for almost anybody.
Yeah.
But that was, and looking back, if it didn't happen in 2008, 2009, because of the economic crisis, it would have happened in 2009, 2010, because at some point you hit a ceiling of revenue and then you're like, well, how do I get to another step? And, you know, it's really at some point you got to change your skill set.
Yeah. So you went from a general dentist referring everything out to almost being like kind of forced into doing implants.
Yeah,
I was pushed into it.
I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
To to keep revenue in the practice.
And you saw how many you were referring out.
Probably. Yeah, it wasn't a ton then. It was three or four a month, but three or four a month
is a lot.
$15,000 to $20,000 in dentistry I'm giving to somebody else.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, not to include the ones that didn't do it and all of those things. So that was kind of the next ceiling that I hit.
Okay, so now you're doing implants. The office is growing. So what came next?
The next ceiling finally wasn't an economic or stupidity decision. Yeah. Like ceiling number one was, you know, that, you know, now I kind of fast forward to 2012, 2013. And honestly, things are good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm, you know, my life, is, you know, I've got three kids. My life's in a good routine. I'm making good money. I'm making very good money, honestly. And things are good.
Yeah.
You know, and like most things, when things are good, I try to screw it up.
Yeah.
But really what I felt there was I couldn't get past the $1.4, $1.5 million mark.
Yeah.
It really is what it boils down to. And honestly, it might not have been that high at that point. It might have been 1.2, 1.3 million in 2012, probably the equivalent of 1.4, 1.5 today. And what I started realizing was I was the bottleneck. I was everything. If I missed work, the office closed.
Yeah.
You know, if I had a bad day, the office had a bad day.
Right. You were the monkey and you were all of the things.
I was everything.
You were the cook, the sous chef, the server.
Well, I'm probably graduating to sous chef level at this point. It's so funny. Yash was over for dinner this past weekend. It was fall break for
him. I saw your story.
And he says, he looked at me while he was eating something. He goes, "You've really made progress."
Practice makes perfect. That's what you should have said.
That's, you know, and so what I realized at that point was I needed another dentist. Now, again, giving back to realities and things here is, part of this was a known game plan for me. You know, in 2008, 2007, 2008, I moved from four operatories to eight operatories in the intention that I needed room to grow.
Right.
Now, the economic crisis slowed that down tremendously. You know, recovering from that, we got to 2012. I had the space and the capacity to be able to grow. And so it was always part of the game plan, but I was a little afraid. I didn't know if I had enough business to do it. But at this point, I was like, dude, I am holding the practice back.
Right.
And so really at this point, I decided that I needed to bring in another dentist. And we could have another episode on all the reasons I struggled in the very beginning, five times within 2 or 3 years of bringing on another dentist. But again, I think the key there is I recognize I don't quit. I iterate. When something doesn't go well. And so that was kind of it.
Well, what did you do right with when you did find the right associate?
I got out of the way. I stopped trying to create another me is really what it boiled down to. I started asking the question, what does the practice need? What does T-Bone need?
Yeah. But what did that do for you too?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, you're talking about the outcome.
Yeah.
Man. And so I think out of dumb luck, because at this point, I'm just figuring it out as I go.
Right.
Dumb luck for me here when I added the associate is I just kept giving them all the dentistry. My thought process was get them full. I'll take the empty space. Mm-hmm. And I think what a lot of people do wrong when they bring in an associate is they say, feed me first as the owner, and then the associate can be second. And I looked at it very opposite. Now, I also had a very intentional mindset that I wanted to work less.
And level up.
And level up, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me, what I recognized there was I was starting to get cases and say yes, and I'd have to tell somebody, no, you have to wait a month to get your implant placed. And
right.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
Like, that's totally dumb. And so, yeah, so that freed me up and allowed me to go to 3 days a week. And I was producing the same amount that I was producing in 4 days a week or 4.5 days a week at that point. And it freed me up. And I was able to then, with that free time, quote unquote free time, I was able to level up my clinical skills. I was able to level up my marketing. And this is when we first started doing marketing the practice. We started like intentional marketing in the practice, level up my marketing skills, you know, level up my social media presence. I was able to have time. Lead my team, you know, be around, like walk around the office.
Yeah.
And so many of us, like this point, this ceiling should really be hitting home with a lot of you, because what you should be recognizing or hearing is, if there were more time in the day, I could get further. If I had better people around me, I could get further. And if I have all these clinical skills, but I'm not doing that dentistry. And what you really need to realize with all of those things is that it really points back at you and really your ability to level up your team, because they're not going to level up on their own. Most of them will not. A few superstars and unicorns will. You're not going to go learn new skills if you're busy doing all the dentistry and you're comfortable. You know, I didn't have to add an associate, to be honest with you. I could have lived, a life at that point. But, you know, I've been that person that always wanted more. And I've always wanted to be bigger, better, more different, whatever it could be. And so really looking back, getting another dentist and getting that mindset in me of how I fed them and how I tried to keep them busy and created more space for me has probably been the most important thing I've done in the last 10 to 15 years for my professional career, is having some more freedom in my life.
I think this is where so many of our listeners mm-hmm. can relate, and so where so many of our masterminders started is they were super successful as a solo dentist, but they were drowning. They needed breathing room, and you need that breathing room and space to be able to specialize and to level up. And so that way they're able, when they bring someone in, they're able to give them that freedom to be able to do more things at once.
Yeah, I think I want to translate that a little bit for the listeners is, if you think adding an associate is about doubling your practice from the volume, the type of patients, right. I think it's the wrong approach. I just do. I think you've got to level up beyond where you're at. And either you do that concurrently, you do that after you level up, if you're in a financial position to do that, or you work harder on the front end to level up so that you can bring somebody in. But I think the days of, like, if it takes you 5 operatories to run 1 dentist, it doesn't need to take you 9 operatories to run 2 dentists. Right. It should really only take like 1 to 1.5 operatories more to add each consecutive dentist to your practice, is conceptually what it really boils down to.
Yeah. Okay, so you have 1 associate, you have an office manager, you have someone to help you start to lead the team at this point. You're down to 3 days a week.
Funny you bring that up. I forgot to talk about it. Like, thank you for reminding me. I'm sorry to interrupt. I keep saying sorry, but you know.
You're not sorry.
I am
sorry.
It's
okay. Our listeners know.
I know. I feel bad.
If there's any new ones, hi.
Yeah. The office manager I had at the time was the first one I had.
Yeah.
And she helped me get to the next step.
Right.
But looking back, you know, it was uncharted territory for both of us.
Right.
Number one, I have control issues. And most office managers, and I don't want to say this in a negative way, but most dental practices they're ready for office managers, but the concept of office manager has to change.
A real office manager.
No, it has to. Like, it is 2025, maybe 26 when somebody's listening to this. It's an office manager today in 2025 is not the office manager in the early 2000s. That was a babysitter at that point. Today, an office manager has to be a leader and has to be someone that's involved in your business, not just someone that hires and fires and handles things for you.
Yeah,
that is not the modern day office manager. So I that's what I meant to say. I apologize.
So you're down to 3 days a week.
Yeah.
You're working less. You're making more. Everything sounds great. So what's the next ceiling? Where are we on the timeline too? What year are we in?
Now, that was 2012, 13.
Yeah.
My next ceiling I hit was like 2018.
Yes.
And so I want to kind of like, we're like, these ceilings are kind of, for me, they're predicated on really 2 things looking back. Okay. Number one is my just desire to constantly be moving forward. Like, I just don't like feeling stuck. I don't like feeling like I'm not growing. So that's number one. It's a feeling I have. Like, I feel like I'm bored. Like, if I come in and do the same thing over and over again, like that doesn't, I still haven't hit a phase where that's what I want. Okay. I'm sure that time will come, but I'm not there yet still. And then the second thing is for me, and probably the bigger one for to signal it to me, is my revenue stays stagnant. In other words, it's up a little bit, maybe a couple of 3% a year, you know, but if I find that we're doing the same thing for a couple of 3 years, it's something's not right.
So, and you always say that about team members too. If they're doing the same thing,
yeah.
three years is kind of like the magic.
Yeah, 2 to 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
They should be leveling up.
Leveling up, leveling out. Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully they don't ever level out.
Level up, grow within the practice.
Yeah.
Like the practice continues to grow as they grow.
And what I mean by level out, that means that your practice isn't providing what that person is capable of doing. Like they're going to choose to level out because they have bigger ambitions than your practice allows. Yeah. And so to me, that is something that you have to be conscious of as you're growing. All right. So now we're in 2018. You know, we stalled is really what it boils down to. And I could have absolutely stayed there. No question about it. I could stay there. Life was good. Everything was well. But, you know,
I was there.
It was
life was good.
Yeah.
I was moving. I was still there full time.
Yeah. And at that point, really, I had other ambitions in life. Okay, I wanted to do more. I wanted to do different. And I wanted to get down to 2 days a week, mm-hmm. you know, but I didn't want to take a financial haircut in the practice. So I went back to the well for the same thing I did in 2012, which was, hey, adding another dentist allowed me to level up, which allowed me to work less. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to say that again. Adding another provider, I'm going to say that differently this time. Adding another provider allowed me to level up, which allowed me to work less and make the same amount or more. And so I went back to that same formula. And this is about 2018, we added another dentist to the practice. And now I was able to get down to 2 days a week. And so again, when I got down to 2 days a week, I had to feed another dentist. So I had to give them more of what was on my schedule. So that left me with the gap. And then I filled that gap by going all in on full arch implant dentistry. I had been doing full arch up to this point, but I wasn't all in. I wasn't making it a part.
It was still an event.
It was an event. It didn't drive my part of the practice.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was a service we had in the office.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm actually me and Sully are going to talk about this at the Neodent Full Arch Growth Summit at the end of October in Las Vegas. But, you know, it was a service I added to my menu, and it needed to be more than a service I added to my menu. So I wanted to make a feature. It needed to be a business model.
A special.
Yeah.
You know how the restaurant, they read you.
But I wanted to be a permanent special.
Yeah.
And so that's what adding another dentist allowed me to do, is it allowed me to get focused in on what I wanted to do in the practice, which at that point was to be very selective about the type of dentistry I did, to give myself more free time to do whatever I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's really what 2018 did. 2018 is also when I recognized that I had to start giving up control of things in the office. I had to level up leaders around me, whether that was clinical leaders, whether that was sales leaders in the treatment coordinator position, whether that was business leaders in developing beyond a traditional office manager role. And again, a lot of that for me was a me bottleneck, you know, giving up control, learning to give up control, learning to give people the freedom to get better, to invest in them, to go get them the training to get better and things like that. So
you realize that the people and the systems that got you to $2 million weren't the way and the things that were going to get you to $4 or $5 million.
Yeah, yeah. And to put that into more normal perspective there. So 2012, we were stuck at, let's call it 1.3, 1.4 million. By 2018, we were busting through 2 million, probably at 2.2, 2.4 million, adding another provider, me getting focused on what I wanted to do by and working less. That moved us to the 3.4, 3.5 $1 million mark. And that leads us to the next ceiling, current day ceiling, you know, 2025, 26. And again,
so you're working 2 days, you have two providers. You'd think you'd be done hitting ceilings, right? But are we here? Are we back? How do you know you're there?
I feel bad. I feel like,
Or are you not there yet, but you know it's coming?
I'm there.
Okay.
Yeah, we're there. God, I feel like an ungrateful person.
No, I think that we have to reframe what the ceilings are about being problems and complaining. These are positive things. They're the disruptions that move you to the next level.
Yeah, because I want more.
Right.
You know, because I want to feel like I'm growing.
I mean, I'm not saying you're the most grateful person, but
I know. And so that kind of,
but we're working on it.
But we're stagnant again.
Yes,
we've been stuck.
And that's not okay.
For me, that's not okay. No. Like either I want to be in it to win it, or I want to be out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's not an option. So here we are.
Right. You know, or I want to not die dry, but I want to try.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so the ceiling now is we're stuck at 3.4, 3.5, 3.6 million in our practice. You know, we're the equivalent of 9 days a week of dentists.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 9 days a week of dentists, and we've hit a ceiling. And so I think at this point, the ceiling requires me to, it's funny, I was having this call with Annie, who coaches our mastermind offices, and she was giving me a little taste of my own medicine this morning.
Yeah.
And really for me, the next step is I've got to get to the point where I do super special cases.
Yeah. We hear you preach it to everyone
else. Right. Exactly. not just certain types of dentistry, but now it's certain types at certain fees of dentistry, where my fee has to be a signature fee.
Right.
You know, for those that really want me to do the work. And so what that's the ceiling, the mindset ceiling I'm going to hit there is bringing in somebody else who essentially can replace me. Mm-hmm. And my ego accepting that I could be made irrelevant in the office, which in so many ways is exactly what I want.
I was going to say, the Walmart greeter. We just need to put your picture up there.
You know, which is exactly what I want, but there's a part of me.
Maybe we take the cutout we have here and we take it to the office.
That is holding me back.
And carry you around so you feel like you're always there.
You know, and so now what I do recognize clearly is I need a office operations leader, someone that can see and think the way I'm thinking, that can bring me not problems but solutions, that can then execute the solutions. And we'll make mistakes along the way. There's no question about that. Everybody makes mistakes. And then I've got to have people that value my time, so that when we're talking to patients, it's not, hey, let me see if he can come in early. It's, hey, this is when he works.
Right.
And we both, all of us have to start understanding that if it doesn't work for the patient, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like we just have to be comfortable walking away from things, which is
you can't save everyone, which is so hard for us.
As an Indian immigrant, you know, like the guy that woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning to clean a room in case we could rent it again that night. That is very difficult for me.
Yeah.
Unbelievably difficult. So, and then I've got to get comfortable spending more money on marketing and marketing more consistently with more effort. I've got to get back on the horse and start being the face of the practice again a little bit. Which again, I've purposely, it's so interesting as we talk through this. I hope this is helpful to the audience.
I think so many people are going through these phases,
you know,
at different times maybe.
And it's so interesting, like with each, and I haven't mentioned this yet, but with each ceiling, when I recognize the ceiling, I have to work a little bit harder or spend more time to bust through it. But then the outcome is half the time.
Right.
And so right now, what I'm really struggling, it's almost therapy session now. Right now, what I'm really struggling with is how do I give the practice more time to then see a year later how it needs me half the amount of time?
Yeah. You got to slow down to speed up, right?
You know, because to go from 4 days to 2 days, I was willing to do the work.
Right.
Now to go from 2 days to 1 day, I'm like, God, am I willing, capable, and, you know, able to do the work that it takes? But I don't think I have a choice. I think it's something I've got to do and want to do. So So,
well, yeah, this is the building a business phase, not just a practice.
Yeah.
So many times.
All of it. Yeah. 2012 is when I started building a business.
Jumping from the practice to the business, you can't scale yourself, but so much.
Yeah.
So you have to start to rely on the leaders and the people around you to see the vision that you want and to kind of help carry that through. One of the things I love that Sully says a lot is that's an extension of me. That's an right. extension of me. You know, his lead hygienist, he's like, come to them. That's an extension of me. And that way he's coached them to be an extension of him. And that's a great way, a way when you're ready to scale on how to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, those are kind of the ceilings. You know, we spent a lot of time on those, but those are the five ceilings. And I think we should walk through, you know, kind of like how to recognize them and you know, what we, you know, so
like a pattern.
So I want to walk through real quick on this one is, I think this ceiling now is one of two things.
Yeah.
Either I've got to get super serious about the time and money it takes to market so that way I can do my revenue in one day mm-hmm. or, you know, like 2 days I can, you know, increase my revenue. I'm willing to do more revenue. I'm just not willing to give more time to see patients.
Right.
I think that's one, or I have to get comfortable with making a change to the dentist, which is me. Mm-hmm. In this case, because we have the business to do more surgical work, my availability is becoming a problem and challenge in that. So, so that as I think through this and talk this out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, when you look back at the five different ceilings over the past 20 years, what are the patterns that you see or, you know, kind of the things that looked the same or looked different in your eyes?
Well, every ceiling was different. You know, the first one was about survival. The second one was about clinical skills to get to the next step. The third one was about people, adding another dentist.
Yeah.
The fourth one was about creating systems so that way, you know, the practice could work for more than just me. You know, that 2018 is really when I felt I could leave the office for a month at a time and things would still be running. That's kind of what that created for me. And I think the 2025, the current ceiling, is really about redefining the vision I have for the practice going forward. But what was common in all of that was me. You know, I am my ability, my desire, my investment in myself to grow as a leader has been the big challenge in all of those.
Yeah.
And so far, who knows what the future will hold, but so far I've lived up to that challenge, and hopefully I'll live up to this challenge as well.
Yeah.
I would like to think so. And I needed, and this one's important, I needed different people in the seats. Now, that doesn't mean that I needed different people.
Yeah.
I needed to shuffle people around.
Yeah.
And in some instances, I needed to add new people. And so that's been a consistent in all of these ceilings. So every time you break it, you know, I tell all masterminders all the time, you've said it this time, is what got you to 1.2 isn't going to get you to 2 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Either your people are going to have to level up, or you're going to have to level in some new people, an additional or new change people to get to that next step. And I always believe you give people the opportunity to level up first. If they're not capable or they don't have that skill set, it's okay to level in and bring people in. And it's okay for you to out people or people to out. I don't think it's okay for people to outgrow you. But, you know, it's okay for people not to be the right fit in your practice.
Well, that's exactly what most of our doctors are doing or going through in our 3D mastermind, kind of getting to, it's almost like a step. Each ceiling is like a step.
It's a stage.
But kind of on that stepping stone. And yes, that's each stage has its own ceiling.
Yeah, kind of if you know, so the last 6 months I've been working on developing what's called a 3D GPS, and it's our growth positioning system. I don't think you've heard this before either. So, but you know, I sit around thinking, you know, it's so important how important it is to have time to think. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, it really boils down to, like, I look at it, there's five stages that your practice career goes through. The five stages are, number one, you're an associate. Okay. In other words, you work for somebody else, you own your operatory, and you make your living out of directly what you do in the practice. There's you know, there's things called peak associate and things like that where you can really be good. I don't want anybody to, I want everybody to be able to control their destiny in life. Mm-hmm. And I think you can do that as an associate as long as you're in the right organization and environment to do that in. The second stage, which I think is the hardest and the worst, it's the funnest at the beginning and the worst stage towards the end, and that's being the owner-operator. That's where basically you plant your flag in the ground, you own the practice, and everything revolves around you. In the beginning, it's fun. Towards the end of it, typically around that $1.4, $1.6 million ballpark.
And you can't leave and go on vacation. The place shuts down.
It becomes
everybody
a noose.
Everybody needs to work.
It becomes a noose.
Yeah.
And then that moves you into the third phase or stage, which is the builder stage. And this is when you really start building a business. Now you're trying to create the systems, create the scalability, create the ability that you could finally leave for a week or two and not have things fall apart. You're creating margin and freedom and, margin in your life to where you can work on all the things that you say, if I had time to do these things, I could do so much more. And then that helps you get to the fourth phase, which is kind of where I'm at right now, is the signature phase, which is where you do the dentistry you want to do. You know, broadly speaking, you get to pick and choose what you do. The practice could literally operate without you. It still requires your revenue, but you could disappear for, to me, the difference between builder and signature is, could you disappear for a month, 4 to 6 weeks, and what would really happen to you, what would happen to the practice there? And where I'm trying to get to is the freedom stage. And I think that's the ceiling I've hit now. And the fifth stage is the freedom stage, which is literally where the practice doesn't need you clinically anymore, or from your revenue, your hands to produce revenue. Really, it just needs your vision, your leadership, your guidance, your pocketbook to be able to help keep growing the practice. And so those are the five kind of stages that a practice goes through. And it's kind of how we coach in our mastermind. We coach from owner operator to builder, builder to signature, and signature to reach that freedom stage. And that's kind of what I'm working on right now.
Well, for a lot of our listeners, maybe they're listening to this, it's starting to resonate with them. What are maybe a couple of the signs that they have hit a ceiling?
Yeah, there's three signs that I really think about, okay? One is stagnant growth. Like your numbers just aren't moving, or they're not moving significantly. Like in 2018, the revenue got stuck and, for the 2 years, just like I'm hitting now, my revenue's stuck.
Yeah.
And, when the answer is, doc, you got to work some more to get that to the next step. Like that's what I know. I've personally hit a ceiling because it's not the answer I want to hear.
Yeah. You know? I think we see this a lot with people around 1.2, 2.5, because that's solo doctor. And then that's bringing on one associate.
Yeah.
And then they think that they're going to keep growing and they hit. And so that's hard for them to keep going.
The second sign is there becomes this chaos where people ask you lots of questions.
Yeah.
Like where it's just constantly like you're putting out fires. You kind of get to the stage where, this is great. This is the next step. And then you get back to this constant chaos.
Yeah.
And you're putting out fires all the time. And then that's when you know you've hit a ceiling. And then you're doing everything again.
Yeah. If you're working in the business day to day, putting out fires, there's no way you can build and continue to grow.
And what I'll tell people in their 30s is when you get to your mid 40s, your ability to...
Your back hurts because our back's already hurt.
Your ability to get focused and put the energy into your practice starts getting less. You know,
is that the burnout?
I don't know. I have a hard time calling it burnout.
The fire just dims.
I think the fire changes.
Okay. It's in a different season.
Yeah. I mean, I just think like I can't hustle through it as the way I did.
Right.
Like I will if I have to.
Yeah.
But it'll look different.
It makes sense.
I just
a little slower.
Probably. You just can't
I'm
hustle
just making
through
fun
it.
Of his run.
That's okay.
All.
I can't hustle through it. And so
it's fair.
You know.
And then your third one,
I'm doing everything again.
Yeah. So that's just, you're the most expensive employee in your practice. So for you to do it all, it kind of holds everyone back, right? Because we need you to be doing more productive things. My favorite argument between the team members when somebody schedules something unproductive for you. It's like, stop doing that. We need him to be doing better things.
You know, I look back and I used to file insurance claims. There was a time I was answering the phone.
Yeah.
Filing insurance claims, doing confirmation calls. I mean, I was a one-man show.
I remember you told me when I was an intern, I want you to sit up front and learn the business of dentistry. I want you to answer the phones. And I was like, that is not what I'm here to do. I want to learn dentistry. I want to be a dentist. And you said, I had to figure out what the patients wanted and I had to learn everything after dental school. I want you to learn all of that now.
Yeah. And, you know, then I went through, I went through a phase where I was doing my own bookkeeping. Yeah. And I was, you know, doing, I still do my payroll.
Did you pretend to be someone else on the phone? That's just my only question.
No, I just.
You just didn't give a name?
I just didn't care. I mean, I wore it with pride, you know?
Doing what you had to do.
And yeah. So yeah. And now I'm at a point where I think the only thing I have to do in the office now is some of the clinical work. And I think it's starting to become clear I got to get out of the way.
Yeah.
On some of that as well.
Well, if you are listening to this and thinking you're stuck in a ceiling, this sounds like something you are going through, then the 3D Mastermind Foundations program would be perfect for you. So we'd love for you to reach out, and you can find that at www.3d-dentist.com/mastermind. Or if you're ready to apply for the program, 3d-dentist.com/application.
We get questions like, what is the mastermind? What is that? And look, it is a life-changing framework if you commit to it, do the work. You check your ego at the door. Are we the only people out there? The answer is no. But look, if you're interested in building a business that you can be proud of, a business that allows you to do the dentistry you want to do, a business that allows you to serve your family, to serve your personal life, a business that allows you to empower others and level other people up, a business that doesn't require you to be there all the time, it's what we build. If you want to build a business that the DSOs are dying to buy because it's built around some of their solid, good principles, it's what we do. And I would love to help you. I know we have 5 spots left for January 2026. Mm-hmm. We'd love to get that filled up.
Probably only 2 or 3 now.
Maybe 3, 4, 5, whatever. Yeah. You know better than me.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then... now's the time. I mean, there's I know things are tight in practices because they're tight in mine. But here's what I've constantly noted. If you have a growth mindset, if you're in survival mode and you're scared, it's probably not the right thing for you. Okay. But if you have a growth mindset, if you have an abundance mentality, but I know things are tight, I know things are hard, there's no better time. You know, let's get started. Let's grow together. We have tremendous results with some of this, and it's amazing what we can do together when you get around other people that are rowing in the same direction of you. You know, the old saying, the rising, you know, it's just people rowing together.
Yeah,
it really works, because instead of being surrounded by your average dentist around you, why don't you raise the bar of what average is and see what happens to you? And that's really what mastermind groups do, and we'd love to have you guys, you know. And I'd like to leave with this. Every growth ceiling is a leadership challenge in disguise. If you're willing to grow yourself as a leader, your practice will too. That's essentially what I just said through this 30, 40, 50 minutes, however long this has been, is that every ceiling required me to grow as a leader, required me to transfer some of that leadership to my team members around me and allow the practice to continue to grow. And that's where we're at now, is we got to keep growing and do more. So,
well, we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you, everybody.